Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Excited to have with me again Senator Paul Bailey, who's been on several times, but I have him on because he is our connection to the state, and always interested to hear anything going on with what he's working on, what the state's doing. And he's always just got the best news for us and just very transparent with everything. And I'm just glad to have him. So good morning.
Well, good morning, Ben. And thank you for asking me to be on your show.
Always a pleasure. I know you got a ton of things to do today, and just glad you're here. So I want to start with something good and something new. And I think everybody's probably aware of it, but the big development, Blue Oval City in West Tennessee. What can you tell us about Blue Oval City?
Well, those that haven't heard, Ford Motor Company has announced that they're going to be building their F-150 EV electric vehicle there in West Tennessee. The state had 4,000 plus acres there in West Tennessee, and we've had it now for probably 14 years, and we'd been looking for a large manufacturer to come and build on that site. This property just happened to fit into Ford Motor plans for building an electric vehicle plant, and so everything worked out. So Blue Oval City is exactly what it says. There's going to be the manufacturing plant that's there, and then they're also going to incorporate several of their supplying companies are going to be on that same mega site. So it's very exciting for West Tennessee. As anyone that's been in that area of the state understands, that that is a huge, huge farming community. Not as much manufacturing as we see here in the Middle Tennessee area. So it's going to transform West Tennessee. A lot of those small towns that surround the Blue Oval don't understand what they're about to get. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is the people moving, whether they're coming from across the state of Tennessee or from other parts of the country, because they're going to employ 6,000 people there at the plant. And then they're anticipating all their supply companies will employ another 25,000. So there's some, it's going to be in the range of 25 to 30,000 plus people that'll be working to supply parts and manufacture this new electronic vehicle that they're hoping to have up and coming off the line by late 2024, 2025. You know, they've got it's flat ground, and so they've got to get going, and Tennessee's not wasted any time in helping them get their process. Good news is I just happened to meet with the CEO of Ford Motor Company. They were in Nashville this week, and I was invited to be on a round table. They are so excited to be coming to Tennessee, and they were so complimentary of the state and the hospitality that they have received from Tennessee. And so they're excited about being able to be part of our community.
So I'm glad you mentioned the jobs, 25,000 to 30,000 jobs that are going to be created in the Blue Oval City. And you mentioned Ford's going to do 6,000, but the supply companies around them is going to provide the other ones. And of course, the supply companies are not owned by Ford. They're actual other companies.
Other company. And so, again, the meeting that we had this week, we had a lot of those supply companies there. Denso was one of the companies that was there, and others that's going to be Ford. It used to be known as Ford Motor Glass. It's now a different name, but Ford Motor Company has actually been a part of Tennessee for many, many years. They had the glass plant there in Nashville. They sold to a third party several years ago, but they're planning on utilizing that facility. And then they're talking to their suppliers now about building on site. So you're going to be, again, building the manufacturing facility, but these other supply companies, they're wanting them to build on this site with them so that they're needed materials will be able to just flow right into the plant, and they believe that that'll make it a lot more efficient. Interestingly, they have not undertaken a project like this since the 1920s, whenever they built what they called the Rouge in Detroit. Wow. And so this is the first time that they have built a huge manufacturing facility since 23 is what Mr. Drake said, the COO of Ford.
That's a big deal.
It is a huge deal. And again, they were looking at several states, and but Tennessee, they just kept coming back to Tennessee because, you know, we, number one, had a big enough site available for what their vision was. And secondly, you know, Tennessee, as well as our southern neighbors and even Kentucky, have become suppliers of the automotive industry. And so they knew that they already had a lot of their supply chain here in the area to where they would be able to pull from that. So they're just really happy. I was in West Tennessee a few weeks ago after the announcement, and those people down there are excited. They've never seen anything like this, and so they're excited. They also realize there's going to be challenges, but they're excited. They really feel like that it's going to be something that is going to change West Tennessee forever.
Speaking of the challenges, of course, the county mayors have pulled some of our consultants out there in just to be in on the conversation. How can we assist? You know, 30,000 jobs is bigger than population to some of those West Tennessee counties.
Absolutely. It is. And so, again, whenever I reference 30,000, you've got the 6,000 there at the plant. And then, of course, those additional suppliers are going to be on there. And then what they're saying is the 25 to 30,000, you know, they probably won't just be right there at the Blue Oval. They'll be at some of the other supply facilities that'll be sending in, but that's going to be how many jobs that it affects or creates in the process of building this new Ford truck.
One of those small county mayors called my counterpart and said, all of my county employees will leave to go work there. Yeah. And of course he was not frustrated. He's happy. It's coming. It's all it's going to do is benefit West Tennessee. It's going to put West Tennessee on the map.
Right.
As we know, West Tennessee is very rural and, other than Memphis and Shelby County, but very rural area, and population keeps leaving West Tennessee and moving to Middle Tennessee or East Tennessee.
Right.
Well, this is going to put them on the map. You got Fayette County and Haywood counties where I guess it's technically located.
That's where it's going to be located in the Haywood County area.
And there's a solar farm there too,
solar power farm that established.
So that's going to help power the Blue Oval. But that's just an amazing announcement for Tennessee. I think that it's not only going to help West Tennessee, it's going to have an effect because I think, you know, I'm on the chamber board here in Putnam County, of course, the commissioner, you know that. We were actually talking about suppliers looking maybe to come to the Upper Cumberland that are doing electronic vehicle parts.
Right. And let me say this. In our meeting this week, the COO stated to all of us, they want to hear from any supplier that would be able to supply them a component that goes into this truck. They want to use as many manufacturers in Tennessee as possible in building this truck. So if there's anyone listening and they want to be a part of the Ford family in producing this new electronic vehicle, they are currently talking with companies because this is a product that's already been designed and they are trying to get their supply chain put in place right now so that once that plan is complete, that truck can roll off the assembly line without any hesitation. And so if any of your listeners is interested in becoming a part of that, certainly reach out. If they can contact the Tennessee Chamber in Nashville, the Tennessee Chamber in Nashville, if they want to get more information on who to contact, because Ford has established an office to where they can start disseminating all this information that comes into them.
This is why I have you on the show.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you're giving us information. I didn't know that. I didn't know they were looking for anybody and everybody in Tennessee. I think that's great. It means Ford's completely invested in the state of Tennessee.
They're fully invested. You could just see it on the executive faces there this week. They're just excited about this new project, and they're excited that they're in Tennessee. We had on the Ford Motor Company Board of Directors, John Huntsman, who is a former governor of Utah. He was here in the room with us that day. And you know, he made the comment about how that it was just unbelievable how the state legislature, as well as the governor and ECD, worked to put this deal together to get Ford Motor Company to come to Tennessee. And he basically said, look, I don't know that I could have pulled this off in Utah. And my comment to the executives with Ford, you're coming to a conservative state. We have been fiscally conservative for many years. And that's the reason that we were able to offer you the incentive package for you to bring your facility to Tennessee. Because a lot of states that would have wanted and needed maybe this manufacturing facility didn't have the capital to be able to invest in this manufacturing facility. But Tennessee is able to do that because of good, strong physical position that we have.
And that's a credit to our you and the previous general assemblies we've had for the previous 10 to 12 years.
Absolutely. Minimum of the past 12 to 14 years, mm-hmm. we have, you know, really managed to get Tennessee. And as really, I say we're the best managed state in the nation. A lot of organizations rank us as number two, but we are, I think, the best managed in the state.
It's great information. Yeah, and that's great. So you're going to be modest, but I think it's an honor for you to be in the room with those people as you were earlier this week, because obviously you have a lot to bring to the table or you wouldn't have been invited.
Yeah.
So I think that's an honor for you to be there. Well, I appreciate what you do for the state and this area. So
thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment with more things from Senator Paul Bailey in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Senator Paul Bailey. A lot of good information from Blue Oval City. The new Ford development making the electronic F-150 starting next. Will they start next year?
Oh, no. It's going to take them a couple of years. I think their tentative date is somewhere in 2024, but they want to be rolling those vehicles off the line and no later than 2025. And if construction goes well, you know, they will they'll even start sooner. So, again, lots of moving parts from the construction. I mean, one thing you have to realize, and your listeners need to know, that mega site that was in West Tennessee has zero infrastructure. Right. And when I talk about infrastructure, I'm talking about we've got to build a road into it. We've got to put electric into it. We've got to put water that we can use at that manufacturing. Wastewater. Yeah. We've got to take care of all that. So there's lots of infrastructure, gas pipelines, all that. And TVA was in the room with us. And I mean, at TVA, that was another comment that the COO made, is that they've never seen an electric power supplier as willing as TVA is to help them facilitate building this facility.
Wow. Great information on Blue Oval City. That was part of the special session they had back in October. They also had another special session, the General Assembly, that is. And special session is when the governor calls y'all in to conduct business. That's not in normal session. Normal session is January through the spring sometime. Could be April, could be May. Sometimes been to June. Have you ever went to June while you've been serving? You ever rolled into June?
No, I haven't rolled into June.
That's
not.
Late.
Thank
that's
the Lord.
Historically late for what they do. But special session is the governor wants the legislators to come in and hold session like they normally would, but it's on a special topic, right?
It is, and it has to be for a specified topic is what the call has to be for, and you can't deviate from that call.
And so he lets you know what that is because you don't walk in there surprised, right?
Well, Ben, I want to correct you on one thing.
Sure.
So the first special session, the governor called us in for the approval of the expenditure of the incentives for the Blue Oval City,
okay.
the Ford.
Okay.
Now, he called us into session for
okay.
that one.
Okay.
However, we had to have 2/3 of the Senate members and 2/3 of the House members to call for the second special session to deal with COVID.
Okay.
The governor didn't actually call us into session. The legislature itself, or the legislators themselves, actually signed a letter asking that we be called into special session. And so we called ourselves into special session, and the governor didn't actually. Third time in history, in Tennessee's history, has the legislature actually called itself back into a special session.
Wow. What, do you know what the other two times were? No? Okay. Well, that's probably years ago, right? I
mean, it's been many, many years ago since those special sessions were called together. And but this was the third time that we'd been.
So the topic was COVID, and I'm assuming it was about the vaccine mandate.
Vaccine mandate, employer mandates that the federal government was trying to pass down, requiring that anyone with 100 employees or more be forced to require their employees to be vaccinated. So, you know, we were trying to find an end around because, listen, here in the Upper Cumberland, I was constantly hearing from constituents, employees, as well as owners of companies and managers of manufacturing companies that, hey, we've got employees that are threatening to leave. They're threatening to quit. And so we were trying to figure out a way that we could still comply with the executive order that President Biden signed, but at the same time give some immunity to employers and employees. And so the legislation that we passed was a don't ask, don't tell. So if you have 100 employees or more and you were required by that executive order of the president to have your employees vaccinated, we said, okay, you can have that policy, but you can't compel them to prove that they were vaccinated. So it was a don't ask, don't tell policy.
And so that was successful.
That was successful. It passed unanimously, or, well, when I say unanimously, it was, you know, there was just a few dissension votes, but, you know, it wasn't enough to really matter as far as vote counts are concerned.
But then there were some, I don't know if you would say companies, but for example, University of Tennessee asked for a special exemption from the comptroller's office because it was focusing on federal funding.
Federal funding. And so that was, and we set up a special process because, you know, the state as well as some companies out here are relying on federal dollars coming down. Your healthcare system, you know, your hospitals, that was, if you remember, just in the last few days, that was one of the last blocks by a federal judge was saying that you couldn't require or force your healthcare workers to be vaccinated. So we were trying to set up a system to where the comptroller's office could grant exemptions to those companies that was receiving federal dollars so that wouldn't put those monies in jeopardy of a company or healthcare facility or, you know, the state as far as receiving federal dollars. And we were going to allow that exemption to flow through the comptroller's office, let them review the waivers. They established that. And then, of course, once the federal judges started pushing back on the executive order, they basically, I wouldn't say they've totally closed the department down in the comptroller's office, but they've suspended it,
right.
You know, simply because there's no reason now to carry forward.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'm one of those constituents that reached out to you because
right.
you're my senator and
right.
you and I are friends. And I said,
right.
hey, what do I do? I'm not against being vaccinated. I've never said that on the show. If you want to get vaccinated, that's your choice.
Yeah. And that is one thing that I want everyone to understand. I will fight for your right to be vaccinated, but I'm also going to fight for the right of that person that doesn't want to be vaccinated. It is a personal health care decision. It's something that you shouldn't be taking advice from me, your state senator or politician, but you should be talking with your health care provider as to whether or not you should or shouldn't be vaccinated. And, you know, I had a lot of organizations reaching out to me, wanting me to go on the radio, go in the news print and compel people to go get vaccinated. And my stance was, look, that's between them and their doctor. Yeah. And if they want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But and that's the way that we tried to view this during that special session is that, look, it's a personal choice. It is something that you need to be able to make, and government shouldn't be forcing you to make a decision that you don't want to have to make.
And I thank you. Thank you for that stance, and thank you for having our backs. And, you know, I've talked to my healthcare provider, and they told me if I got vaccinated, I could still get the virus. And if I got vaccinated, I could still get the virus and still spread it. And they said that I'm at an age where, and health-wise, that I didn't need to be vaccinated. Right. And then, of course, I've had kidney stone issues, which probably people don't know. And the last thing I need to do is get vaccinated and try to get put to sleep. So
right.
I've not been vaccinated. UT is I think, looking at what their stance is going to be, but something I have to deal with when it's time. But I appreciate your help on that. So,
And Ben, if you remember, one of the things that I told you, as well as other state employees that contacted me. And of course, the state at no point in time ever put out a mandate for the state employees to be vaccinated as far as through the various departments of state government. Of course, the University of Tennessee, which you're a part of that system, they had a different stance on it. And I think that's simply because education in general
right.
was taking that position. But if you remember what I told you, as I said, Ben, I know there's a deadline coming, but I said, wait.
Yeah.
I said, you know, wait.
You did.
I said, because we think something's going to happen with a federal judge. And I said, if you want to go get the vaccine, certainly by all means. But, you know, if you want to wait it out to that last minute,
yep.
that's what I'd do.
Yep.
And I think that's what...
That's what I've done so far, and I appreciate that advice. So we're going to be right back with one more segment with Senator Paul Bailey in just a moment after this break. Welcome back. Just been delighted so far with Senator Paul Bailey. Some great information through the first two segments, and we've got one more with him. We've covered the Blue Oval City, and we covered this other special session on the vaccine mandate, COVID vaccine mandate. Want to talk now? Your session is going to be starting. The regular session is going to be starting here in about a month, really, almost from right now.
January 11th.
Just about a month. So I know you're excited about that.
Absolutely.
That's why you serve. You don't dread it. You're there to do good work for the citizens of all of Tennessee, especially your district. But we know. One of the topics y'all are going to have to talk about right away is redistricting.
Right.
Because when is the redistricting deadline for Senate lines?
You know, that's an interesting question that I've asked of those that are working on the redistricting. So, you know, the way the state constitution reads is we have 99 House districts, we have 33 Senate districts, and our constitution says that, you know, every 10 years when the census is completed, that you take and divide 99 into that number and 33 into that number, and that's what each House member will represent and what the amount of people that each senator will represent. Well, what's been very interesting about the redistricting part is Middle Tennessee, and especially in our area, let's just say from Crossville all the way to Dixon, kind of this middle part of Middle Tennessee, has seen an explosive amount of growth over the last 10 years. And so East Tennessee and West Tennessee has not seen as much growth as what we have experienced. So those districts in East and West are having to pull towards Middle Tennessee, because that magic number for a state senator is 211,000. And so you're trying, and it can be plus or minus a variation of, and that's something that, you know, it could be up to 10%. The Senate's trying to keep their variation around a 5% or 6% variation. And so trying to draw those districts to where they can be at 211. But you also have to realize, because of the explosion of growth here in the Middle Tennessee, those districts are shrinking, if you will. And so these rural districts are actually having to grow and expand and pull more towards Middle Tennessee. That's one part of your question that you asked, but you said, when is the deadline? I actually asked that question today as far as when is the deadline to have that? And the answer that I received, and I haven't verified that this is actual or not, but it's by the time that you would turn your papers in to either run for state senate or a House member. And that's like April the 17th. Mm-hmm. And so the maps will be out before then. They'll be out in sometime in January, and it'll be interesting to see how the districts are going to be shaped up.
Now, I believe I have this correct, but correct me if I'm wrong. The Senate hires a consulting firm, and the House hires a consulting firm.
Yes. So the Senate draws their own districts, and the House draws their own districts, and then they jointly draw the congressional districts.
Okay. Okay. Did not know that part. So that, again, that's why I have you on here.
Now, so what the Senate's consultants will do, and these are people that are Tennesseans, mm-hmm. And they know Tennessee, but they also are legal professionals, because there's so many guidelines. You have to make sure that you have minority representation,
right.
You can't just, you know, people think this all the time that, well, you just draw these districts and you draw the minority party out. Well, that's not necessarily true today, because there are legal challenges, and you have to make sure that you include what people consider the minority party into sure. those districts. And so they have to be as fair as possible. But, you know, it gets really challenging, especially when you get into the Davidson County area, you get into the Rutherford County area, all of those counties that kind of surround the Nashville area, because, again, I just go back and I say this, the population growth. And so those districts have shrunk. But yet, districts like here in our area, although we've seen a lot of growth, we're going to probably see some growth in our districts.
So you definitely foresee some changes.
There will be changes.
Yeah. Well, for those that lose you, that's unfortunate. For those that gain you, is good for them. So,
well, they never lose me.
Well,
they'll never lose me.
That's true.
You know, I help constituents, you know, whether they're in Putnam County or in the 15th Senate District, or, you know, or if they're outside the district, you know, we all, as a state senator, I look at it that I represent Senate District 15, but I really represent the entire state. And so if someone calls and they need assistance, I'm more than happy to help.
You are. You always are. Another topic, I'm guessing, in the upcoming session is going to be on education. And I know you don't have the details, because nobody knows. Y'all are going to work that out. But this, the BEP formula, I'm assuming, is going to be reviewed or addressed.
Well, that is Governor Lee's primary legislative package this year. And for those that don't understand BEP, it's the Basic Education Plan, which goes back to, if I'm not mistaken, either at the end of Alexander or around Governor McWhorter's days, because there was always the little school districts or the small school districts versus the large school districts, and how you actually fund them. So they devised a very, very, very complicated formula in how that they fund school systems to try to be as fair to a Jackson County or a Bledsoe County or Clay or Pickett County, as well as being fair to a metro district like Davidson County, Knox County, Hamilton County, Shelby County. So it's very complicated. I certainly appreciate the governor taking on this challenge of the funding formula for our school systems. He has created, or he has asked the Department of Education to create many, many little subcommittees, and with stakeholders from legislators to principals and teachers and school directors, the business community, I'm on the Chamber of Commerce committee that, you know, that's looking at this, which is, you know, still made up. It's got educators on that as well as business people, legislators. So it's going to be a huge challenge. And it's something that's very complicated. And I know there's school districts out here that are trying to be open-minded. And then there's some school districts out that, that are skeptical of what could take place with that. But the primary goal is that we fund schools, in the best manner possible to make sure that every child in the state of Tennessee gets a quality education.
Right. Yeah. You would believe the calls, because you're getting them. I'm getting them too from my officials. What's my guess is what's going to happen? I have no idea. They're worried that it's going to cost the county more to provide an education in the public school system. And I said, well, I don't know how that works yet, if that's going to happen, but trust the process. I know it's an agenda item on the for the governor, but trust your legislators. They're going to do what's the best thing for Tennessee. So I know you're getting calls about it.
Yeah.
I'm getting calls about it. Vouchers and charter schools and public schools and private schools. How's this going to, you know, they're throwing everything in the mix. People are just not educating themselves yet to have a conclusion. And so hopefully y'all come up with something good that works for everybody.
Well, and I think, you know, the governor will roll out his plan sometime during the legislative process. And I know that it will be thoroughly vetted by the legislators. You know, we don't have very many private schools here in the 15th Senate districts. I believe that our school districts that we have, which is basically your county school districts, I think that they are solid. And I think that we provide a good education for the public. And the only thing that I want to do is to help them improve on being able to give every child an opportunity to better themselves in life.
Yep. I think that's the goal. So anything else you see in upcoming session that might be a big deal, or are you just trying to get through redistricting and education?
Well, I can tell you that those are the two big topics. You know, when I go to speak at public events, the primary question today is, what's the districts going to look like? Mm-hmm. What's the Senate district going to be? What's my House district going to be? And so that question keeps coming up at every public setting. And so the answer is, I've seen maps. There's none that are official. In fact, I was told this week that the maps have changed again. Mm-hmm. So no one really knows what the final districts are going to be just yet. So that's something that's out there. And then, of course, we've had some questions and comments about the governor working on the BEP program. And then outside of that, things have actually been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're working on some areas as far as trying to improve our CDL training for our commercial truck drivers. Mm-hmm. Met with the governor's staff a week ago, and so we're trying to speed that process up because, as you've heard, there is a supply chain issue in America,
right,
not just in Tennessee. And so Tennessee doesn't want to keep anyone that is willing to enter that job market from being able to do so. And we've got some cumbersome laws, and so the governor's staff has met with me simply because I'm in the trucking business, and as well as Representative Pat Marsh, who's in the trucking business. And they're going to ask us to carry some legislation to help streamline the ability for someone to get a commercial driver's license.
That's great. Paul, thank you for being here.
You bet.
Always a great time. Always great information. Hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas.
Well, and Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thank you. Gonna get through this and enjoy Christmas. Everybody, I hope you go out and give somebody a good smile instead of frowning at them. I promise you, it's a lot easier to smile at somebody than it is a frown. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.